Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday afternoon, June 3rd, 2010. It is now 4:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good afternoon, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates, SUTTON-Associates.net. In his bi-weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, or if you're listening to us on the archives, from the archives, thank you for joining in or tuning in. This afternoon, we are going to have a little bit of a different show. We're having Mr. Kendall Irvin as our guest. Kendall is a musical humorist. Now, what's interesting is that he deals primarily with seniors. So he's gotten to know them pretty well and learn the way they think and what they're thinking about, which is going to be interesting. So we're going to pick Kendall's brain and find out what these seniors today think of what is going on. We're going to get a totally different perspective, and hopefully we can find something that's a little profound and provocative, you know. He does work in that community. He works in the senior community, and it's a logical offshoot. He is also going to play the guitar for us and do a little singing. So we're going to have a little entertainment today, and we're going to have hopefully a little thought-provoking conversation. We do ask everyone to listen in, join in, obviously, and call 646-652-4620 with your comments or questions. Now, he hasn't called in yet, and I'm getting concerned because we are now about 3 or 4 minutes past the hour. Oh, and here he is right now.
Hello.
Hello, Kendall, is that you?
Yes.
Okay, we connected. Yes. That's great. Thank you very much for being on Liberty Talk Radio. We do appreciate your taking the time to be with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, I just gave a little bit of a brief vita about you, but I think I left a lot of things out. So before we commence with the program, why don't you give us a little background about who you are, what you really do, and what you think?
Well, my coworkers would say I do nothing, but that's kind of beside the point. It's a couple of things, and that's really what brought me into to what I'm doing. The show that I do, Seniors Say the Darndest Things, is I actually work for a Medicare supplement company out of Oklahoma City called Old Surety, and really I had not had any experience really working with seniors before. Kind of two things hit me at the same time. I became an adult caregiver, taking care of my 89-year-old mother about 3 years ago, and going into a new job and a new career, talking to seniors every day. And out of that and those conversations and out of the stories that my mom told me, kind of came this program, because I've always been a bit of an entertainer, but I was looking for something kind of new and different, and I was just hearing all these great stories from these seniors, and I thought, well, somebody needs to share those. And, well, gee, why not me? So I just started writing some of them down and telling them and wrote some, kind of funny, interesting songs about seniors. And so about 3 years later, here I am doing a program for seniors and on radio and also for adult caregivers, too. And that's kind of how it all came together. Seniors say the darndest things.
Well, you're a good man. I do visit some homes. My wife is an audiologist, and she has some patients that have become friends of ours, and they really are on in years. I'm talking in the 90s. And I feel very compelled to visit with them, and I find it very, very difficult to do. Let me ask you some philosophical questions or societal questions.
I'm into philosophical.
And we may wander all over the place, and I will apologize for that. But, it seems that every culture, if we go back in time, revered the elderly. The elderly were always those with wisdom, those that we went to for advice, those that we asked guidance of. It seems, and I may be wrong, but it seems today that our elderly are somewhat discarded. They're not very productive, you know, and so we shove them off, and we tend to more revere our little children who have contributed, and don't get me, I have nothing wrong with little kids, I raised three boys myself, but who have contributed nothing to society. When they become teenagers, they lose whatever brains they had, they lose altogether, but yet that's where our attention goes, but even at the expense of those people with the experience, the knowledge, the wisdom that we should be passing on. Now, you're doing something, as far as I'm concerned, that is drawing this information out, and then you're sharing it with other people. You're doing it in an indirect way, something that we should be doing in the first place as a society, but it seems that it's broken down. Now, am I a lunatic, or am I on the right track?
No, Joe, you hit it right on the target, let me tell you. And that's frustrating to me. Being in the entertainment field, I've hosted my own television show and radio talk show before, and so I've been heavily involved in it, both in film and television. And I see just we have such a youth-oriented culture. And you're right. I mean, if you're past 30, you're over the hill, and it's time for you to get out. And we you just look at the headlines. Who makes the headlines? Is it those who are wise, the
right,
older, the more experienced? No. And look at it. Say take sports. You're giving millions of dollars to a freshman, a first-round guy, an entry-level guy, more money than the guy who's been there for 10 years and has more experience. And this guy walks on the field making more money than anybody.
Right.
He's the youngest, least experienced person. But yet, we reward them, before they even perform. And it is sad. And you know what, Joe, you made me think of a new market because, I mainly talk and perform before seniors and for adult caregivers who are usually in their 40s or 50s. Maybe I need to get out there and share some of these stories with young people. Because they have so much to offer, and we as a culture, do not honor that and respect that. So I think you hit it right on the head.
Okay, well, I have that experience even within my family, not my immediate family, but the extended family, and I can see the way I'm treated, and it's so different than the way my father was treated. Now, my father was sort of the patriarch of the family when we lived in Harlem, New York, and the family all lived on the same block and whatever. And when in Italian they say "Zifortorio," that means Uncle Victor came over. I mean, he didn't ask anything of anyone. In fact, he gave. He always gave. He never wanted any preferential treatment. However, everyone extended that to him. You know what I mean? I mean, when he walked in,
oh, yeah,
it was like "Zifortorio's here. Everyone stand up. And he never wanted that. He never said, you know, you didn't stand up, boy. You didn't give me my chair. Never did that. Don't get me wrong. In fact, I think he felt uncomfortable with that. But yet that was that obligation, that saying, you know, here's a man who's come from the other side, who's struggled, who's gone through more than we will ever want to go through and live through it. And then at the end, he takes what he has and he helps the family. You know, he's someone that we should respect. And today, that does not happen. It's like, oh, him, yeah, well, put him on the side, put him in the easy chair, and hopefully he'll keep his mouth shut. Anyway,
right, brush him off.
All right, I'm complaining, by the way, at the same time as I'm, you know. Oh, okay, well, I think it's so fascinating what you are doing. Now, do you go to nursing homes? How do you accomplish your?
Well, we go to several. You know, well, I'll tell you what. I go to whoever wants me. You know, if there's a group that wants me, I don't care what their condition is. You know, if they want to hear somebody come and make them laugh and listen to them sing, and then I get the audience to try and sing along with me too, I'm going to go there. I don't try and limit it or put conditions on it, but mostly I'm doing assisted living facilities. I do associations, you know, groups like, in fact, just last week I closed a seminar series for an adult caregivers group, I just try and go to hospitals and senior centers, but I just try and go where people want a little bit of humor, a little bit of insight, and just try and give them a different perspective about the gifts of aging. So I don't limit myself. You know, if anybody that wants me to come perform, I'm going to go there. I try not to put any conditions on it. So
okay, you know,
and especially if they pay me and they give me lunch, a free lunch, I'm definitely there.
Well, I see, I'm a senior, but I don't place myself in that category. My wrist hurts from a little arthritis and tendonitis, but I like to play the drums, and I like rock, you know. The heavier, the better.
Oh, wow, great.
You know, I get up in the morning, I get on my G650 motorcycle, and I scream down, you know, Riverside Drive, and I go for a cup of coffee. I have a backpack on where I have my books and all the papers that I want to read. My son said, Dad, you're still in high school. When are you going to graduate? And it's true. My mind stopped at 15. So when you say seniors, I say, well, that's for those really old people. But I'm 67 years old.
I'm not talking about you.
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Talking about those over 120.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. But what age group are you typically speaking to?
Well, you know, it's just a wide range, because 2 weeks ago I was at a very nice, luxurious assisted, well, not assist, not even assisted living, but kind of a condominium, a resort community for seniors, and we had everybody from 65 to, I believe we had one that was 100 and several people that were 95 through 97
wow.
years
wow.
Young.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it varies. Of course, if I speak to the adult caregiver groups, then, you know, they're mostly in their 40s and their 50s. So, but one thing I want to say, Joe, along that is that one thing that I hear that really agrees with what you're saying is and confirms it is that seniors want to young people to know that they are still alive, that
right.
they, you know, they still care about what they wear, they care about you know, life, they care about and they care about sex. Some of the stories that they tell me a little bit explicit. And they want people to know, you know,
yeah.
You know, that we are no different. Our life has not ended just because I'm 80. They are proud of their lifestyles, and they are proud that they are still alive at 95
yeah.
and trucking.
Well, seniors are getting older, aren't they? I mean, 100 years ago, it was rare that a person lived to 65 because they led such hard life. I mean, they worked hard. I mean, they wore themselves out. And if they made it to 60, they were incredibly lucky. They would be considered old. You know, and now you see pictures, of course, I mean, and some of them I haven't seen in 10, 15 years. But, you know, Robert, that actor that races cars, that good-looking actor, Robert. Anyway, but you see people. I'm sorry, do you know his name?
Robert Redford?
Right, Redford, yeah. And these people who are, you know, and they say, well, now he's 68 or 72. He still looks good, and he's racing cars. You go, wait a minute. He's supposed to be in an assisted living community, but he's not. And it seems that we are really pushing that age up. Is that your experience as well, that you see mostly older people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the new 95 is the new 85.
Okay.
You know, so
yeah.
I mean, you know, well, first of all, it's the fastest growing population, and we're all headed there. And yes, we are living longer, and you know that's only going to continue on. And you know, if you're in the business that I am, a Medicare supplement, it's a great business to be in. And
right.
It's kind of like a funeral director.
Right.
You know, you're never going to run out of, you know, sad to say, but you're never going to run out of clients.
Right.
And it's unavoidable too. You know, we should take care of our older folks, because that's where we are all headed. And
right.
one day,
right.
you know, hopefully somebody's going to, you know, take care of me if that comes to be.
Right. You know, if we are lucky, let me break for station identification. Boy, time is flying by.
Okay.
Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. With us today, we have Mr. Kendall Irvin, and he's a musical humorist. He deals with the senior citizens community, and that's what we're talking about today. It's a little departure from our normal program, but we want to know a little bit about how seniors think, because in our society today, you know, seniors are put out to pasture, but the youth is revered, and we're trying to dispel that and see, of course, what they think politically and economically as well. And we're going to get into that soon. So please call 646-652-4620. I'll repeat that, 646-652-4620. There will be no commercials other than me asking you to call in. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're listening to us when it's placed in the archives, please write in with your questions. We will always get back to you. We may even do a program on your question or comment. Thank you very much. Okay, now, I guess, where would you like to start? We're just talking about what is on the seniors' minds the most? What's the number one priority?
Oh, man, that absolutely 100% is what's happening politically.
You're kidding.
And what's happening with our government and the freedom, the rights, the Constitution, all of that. That is greatly on their mind. I mean, overwhelmingly, that's... You know, when I ask, you know, I'll talk to someone and I'll say, hey, what's on your mind? That's the first thing that they're going to talk about is what has happened to my country.
You are kidding me. I would have put that dead last. I would have put that dead last. And their attitude is, to hell with the country. What do I care? I mean, you know, I've lived this long.
No.
You know, I'm lucky to be here. You know, screw it. And I am shocked that you're saying that. I mean,
overwhelming.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, and get this. You know, this is what's ironic is that, you know, the people that were protesting in the 60s, you know, were young people, and now it's the same people protesting today. You think about it. It's not the college age. It's not the juniors and seniors in high school that are you know, causing the ruckus and saying, hey, you know, we want change. It's the seniors who are out there doing that now. And oh yeah, overwhelmingly. In fact, anybody that calls in or that I talk to, I can have a absolute conversation with them. And even if they're sometimes if they're upset about their rate being increased, and you know, I know all I've got to do is talk about, you know, what's going on in America, and we become, you know, instant friends because they are so concerned about and it's like what you were talking earlier about how times have changed, that, you know, our elderly, we used to respect respect them and revere them, and they automatically, when an elder, you know, walked into the room, they were given the chair. They were, thought of as someone that needs respect. And
right.
And the seniors that I talk to tell me every day just how times have changed and how sad that it makes them feel that they feel like they've lost some of their freedom. And you know what? And it's not Democrat or Republican or liberal or conservative. You know, it's everybody. There's no, some follow into some of those categories.
Right.
But pretty much everybody feels that we've all lost, that we can all agree with this, that America is not the America that they grew up to know.
That is so surprising. You know, when I was young, if we went to visit relatives and, you know, with the extended family and whatever, all the uncles, and I said, geez, I don't feel well. I think I'm going to die. They'd say, go in the bedroom, shut up, and don't say anything. You know, I mean, that's, you know, it wasn't that important.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you're a kid. You know, get out of here, kid. You know, get over it, you know. Pound
right,
sand.
Right,
goodbye.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's just absolutely amazing. And I have this conversation within our family once in a while, and they, you know, they look at me like I'm very strange. You know, I say, oh, geez, you know, you want something from, and yet the elderly continue to do more for their family than they get back. They always seem to be doing, and I don't mean people in nursing homes, but people who are active. Anyway, what specifically? And you have no idea, I'm dying of curiosity. What specifically do they talk about that they are concerned about? I know they're concerned about the America that they used to be, but bing, bing, bang. What specifically do they talk about?
Well, we could probably get into it.
Yeah, I mean, let's go. I mean, this is your
I'm
station.
I'm just telling you, okay, I'm the messenger, okay?
Oh, yeah. No, hey, this is open
not
station.
The, okay. So don't beat me up too much.
No, absolutely not.
They talk a lot about our current president. And it has nothing to do with color. It has to do with the political view that the new administration holds. But don't get me wrong, they're not praising the last administration either.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
They're just content all the way around. And like I say, you know, it's not you can lump everybody together because they're, you know, they're Democrats, they're Republicans, they're conservatives, they're liberals, they're libertarians, you know, I mean, everybody is saying the same thing. What happened to my America?
Yeah.
And that's so specifically they're, you know, they talk about the current administration. They talk about the health care. They talk about young people a lot and how discouraged that they are with young people. And they always talk about, you know, in my time, in my day, when I got home from school, I worked for 6 hours. And then come 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I was too tired to go out and do anything or go downtown.
Right.
I went to bed.
Right.
You know what? And I wasn't entitled, and I didn't expect that the government or anybody, you know, needed to give me anything.
Right.
You know, I worked hard, and if I worked hard, I got paid for it. And today, you know, the kids come home. If they come home, and they sit in front of the TV or play their, PlayStation or, watch movies or text. And maybe mom and dad can get them to take out the trash.
Well, you know, allow me to modify what you just said. Where I live, the parents pick them up in a gigantic SUV, a 5,800-pound SUV that has video monitors in the back. What do you call it? Video stuff in the back.
Yeah, multiple.
Yeah, they
video
sit
monitors.
In the back and they put their videos on to keep Johnny happy and entertained while they drive a half a mile to their home or some insignificant distance that the kids should be walking because they're afraid that the kid's going to get attacked, you know, by some, it is incredible. Every time I pass by the school, I count the number of basically new SUVs, and they're all lined up picking up little Johnny and little Susie. I said, you know, and there's buses. They won't even let the kids take the bus, you know, because they're precious ones are too precious. And I think, right off the page. All right. And they're right. Back in the old days, I walked. I mean, I didn't suffer anything like that, but I walked to school through Harlem, through the streets of Harlem.
Right.
I mean, is
right,
you know,
yeah.
these neighborhoods any worse? My God. Anyway, well, when they are they concerned about our Constitution? Are they concerned about being too liberal, too conservative? What do they think about the war in Iraq and stuff like that? Can you enlighten us on that?
Constitution is a big one. Yeah, they feel like that our Constitution is being violated. I hear that a lot. They don't really talk that much about the war. You know, there's some, but I'd say only about 10 to 15% mention something about that. Healthcare is a big thing right now. They are very concerned, you know, about the healthcare situation. They do not like the current proposal. But again, it really goes back to, you know, the time that they lived in, you know, or grew up in, and that is, you know, you were self-reliant.
Right.
And, you know, you didn't depend on the government. You didn't depend on, a handout. You depended on yourself, your family, and you helped your neighbor.
That's right.
And that's the way it was.
That's excellent. That triad was beautiful. It's yourself, your family, and your neighbors. And that's what we've lost, because we don't have neighborhoods anymore. We have subdivisions. You know, we have, what do you want to call them, housing divisions. We do not have neighborhoods anymore, because a friend of mine says, you know, we should prepare communities in case there's a big disruption. I said, we no longer have a community. There are no communities in Tulsa. There are subdivisions called, you know, Oak Tree Forest or something crappy, like stupid thing like that. And you walk in there and no one knows each other. They have nice houses, beautiful streets, clean, beautiful lawns, but they're not communities.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they're there and their parents may be in California. So, I mean, it's anyway. And then the people themselves expect that the government will do it for them anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know if you remember or you ever experienced this, but I'm 49, but I can remember I grew up in a very small town in southwest Oklahoma, and when I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s, we never even locked our doors.
Right.
And when people, our neighbors can't, you know, our neighbors didn't even knock on the door. They just opened the door and came in and said, "Hey, Melba, hey, Dwayne, you know, what's going on?"
Everybody
watched each other's house.
You know, here I am living in Harlem, okay? I left the house early in the morning and I came home at night, you know, for supper. And I was a kid, a little kid, you know, in Harlem. I'm talking about, this is not the best neighborhood in the world. And it was absolutely amazing. But there were a lot of kids there, and everyone watched each other. And we all knew who the bully was. We knew who the gangs were. We knew what to avoid. And you did that if you were smart. It's so incredibly different. In fact, my sons today, still, and they're in their 40s, they ask me, "Dad, tell me about when you were a teenager." They want to hear about it. Because to them, it's a foreign country. It's a different culture. They didn't do that anyway. I'm going to get off on a tangent. Are they a little bit more cynical of government? Are they politically more conservative? I hate to use the word conservative, but more constitutional, or are they more progressive? I guess they're not. But you answered that already. They're not progressive where they expect the government to do anything. So I guess they typically are more constitutional than they are progressive.
Right. Definitely constitutional. And like I say, you know, it's very few times do they tell me, "Hey, I'm a Republican," or "Hey, I'm a Democrat." You know, so it's not really about that. I mean, it's an agreeing on. They all agree, "Hey, our America's different, and it's changed, and I don't like it." You know, and they're constitutionalists. Some of them are Tea Party people. Some of them are, you know, some of them will tell me, "I'm liberal, okay, but I still don't like what's going on, and I don't like the way the things have changed." So that's, they're totally in agreement with that.
You sense that the real senior citizens, I mean, people older than me, shed their political affiliation for more a philosophically proper constitutional approach?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because they missed, because, you know, so many of them, because times were different back then.
Yeah.
But times were all the same back then.
Right.
You know, everybody, you know, didn't have a lot of people didn't have a radio much, you know, or they started out with just a radio, but they didn't have TVs. You know, my family was one of the first people in the small town, about 2,000 people, to ever get a black and white TV. So you know, 97% of the rest of the town were listening to the radio. So
right.
Whether you were liberal or Democrat or conservative or Republican or whatever, you all had that same experience of your entertainment was sitting around together as a family and listening to the radio.
Right. In fact, I can tell you the first time I watched TV, it was on the fourth floor. Sam, he lived on the fourth floor, and I forgot his wife's name and his daughter's name, but I remember Sam. One reason why I remember him is because he bought the most beautiful car I've ever seen, a canary yellow 1949 Buick convertible. Drop dead.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, you know what? I can see that car today as if I just saw it yesterday. And it just floored me. And to own a car like that back then, I mean, was unheard of. But he had a TV, an old DuPont TV, and he had this big magnifying glass around the was a very small screen, like a 10-inch screen, magnifying glass
right.
around it, and you had to sit at a certain angle so you could see the picture to make it bigger. Anyway, but and that was the only TV we had. And then eventually, you know, everyone got a TV. But
right.
I lost totally my train of thought, and now I'm really angry with myself because I lost my train of thought altogether, and I lost it. I had a question, and it just fell out of my head. Do the seniors offer any – oh, hold on. Before we get into that, it's time for station identification again. Folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host, and with us today we have Mr. Irvin Kendall. He's a musical humorist, and he does interact with seniors, and he's giving us insight as to the way they think. This is very important, not only politically, but about everything. Now, I know you're out there, but please feel free. You don't have to wait for people say, well, I would have called in, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Please interrupt us. Our number is 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620, and please do so. You can send your email to us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Let me hear from you. We will respond to every email. We'll maybe even make a program out of it if we like the subject matter. If it's worth that, we can do a program on it. And let me tell you, after this program, I'm going to do something very important. I'm going to the doggy park with my little dog. Okay, but now that we're here, I got to stay in the present, the here and now. Do they offer any particular solutions to our problems, Kendall?
Well, that's a good question. We don't get into that a lot, and in fact, you've stimulated my mind here too. So I think that that might be a question that I would ask them. You know, what do you suggest? A few comments that they have are mainly about young people is that that they need to work more, and that parents need to be stricter. And that the schools are too loose and the parents are too loose. And, of course, unfortunately, a lot of the parents, you know, are the problem. And they would like to just take government apart and start all over.
Yeah.
So they do have a couple of suggestions like that. But we do have that in America. We, you know, have the freedom to, if we don't like somebody, you know, we can vote them out.
Yeah.
And, one of the things that we encourage people to do as a company, because we do hear so many complaints, or concerns. I wouldn't say complaint. Let me say, rephrase that as concerns. And we always encourage them, hey, get out there and, you know, let your voice be heard. And pretty much, seniors are doing that, you know, more so than I think any other of the population. Certainly our young people are not politically involved like they were back in the 60s. It is the seniors. So they do have a couple of suggestions, but You know, but mainly they have a lot of concerns.
Yep. You know, my mother used to tell me, she grew up in a family that, by today's standards, would be considered low middle class or the lower end of the middle class. But back in those days, it was like wealthy, you know. I mean, they lived in a brownstone on the second floor on 124th Street and First Avenue. And my mother said, you know, we were not a very happy family back then. I mean, her family, you know, her parents and her sisters, because they had a father that was very, very strict, very mean, you know, never interacted with the kids. And she used to marvel at the kids across the street that lived in this old white house. I mean, this apartment building that was built turn of the century. And it was a beautiful place, by the way. My friend used to live there. And he said, the people that live there, friends of them, she used to go over there, and the father used to, you know, was a laborer, and he'd have jobs on and off, and sometimes, you know, he wasn't at work, and he would come home, and he would take a broom and make believe the broom was a guitar and go broom, broom, and the kids used to dance, and they had a ball, and she said it was the most loving family in the world. And, you know, all those kids turned out to be doctors and lawyers and stuff like that. And she said, you know, and here we were, people with means, of means, meaning they weren't starving to death back in those days. And she said, and we were very unhappy. And it's so interesting what she used to tell me that. She told my story 100 times, and I never got tired listening to it. And I often wonder, you know, whether or not, you know, these seniors see that, and what they're projecting is exactly that same story that my mother used to tell me.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of those shows that we used to, it's ironic here of what we're talking about, and the show I used to watch, you know, The Waltons. Do you remember that show?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, and even during the, I think it was in the early 70s, you know, they had family there. They did things together. They did things that were cheap, you know, inexpensive, because they didn't have a whole lot of money. And my family, you know, that was one of the routines that we would do is to all as a family sit down and watch The Waltons together.
Right.
And my mom and dad would tell me of things that, you know, they didn't play air guitar on the broom, but, you know, they did those things that were special to them that didn't cost any money, that,
right,
you know, making cookies or making ice cream or,
right,
you know, things together. And what was important wasn't how much they spent, you know, or how big, you know, how extravagant the adventure was. It was just the fact of being together,
right,
and enjoying each other. That's what made those times so special. And to experience those, you don't have to be Democrat or Republican, or, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, because,
right,
you had that experience and it's gone. You know, we don't have. If you think about, can you think of one family that is all still intact as a community? You know, the grandmother, the parents, the kids. You know, do they all live in the same town together in a small town? Do they live close to one another? You know, you just rarely see that anymore. And
right.
And I don't know if that will ever come back again.
Right. You know. My favorite program on TV, other than Flash Gordon series, was a program which I'm sure you never heard of. And folks, if there's someone out there who's ever heard of this program and has watched it or knows something about it, please email me, comments@libertytalkradio.com. In fact, I've never Googled this, and I should Google it to find out if I can find anything about this program. It was by far my most favorite program, and it was a family program. It was named I Remember Mama. And I get chills.
I've never heard of it.
You know, I just got chills. I say that, and I get chills. And it was about a Norwegian family. I think they were Norwegian, and all the trials and tribulations and whatever. And it was the most wonderful. It was on for years, and you never, ever, ever hear of it. A few years ago, I heard about it when they were talking about some old series, you know, Jackie Gleason and stuff like that. And someone mentioned it just in passing, and I wanted them to get into it because it was the most marvelous program, warm program. Anyway, but it did depict how people were more during that time. I tell people, if you want to know how people lived – in the, you know, 50 years ago, 70 years ago, look at old cartoons. And what you'll see in the old cartoons is every kid who wore slacks had patches on them.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Every car, and in fact, they used to have the car, every car in the cartoon had a patch. I mean, literally like a rag around the tire, like a patch, if you will, you know. Everything was patched. No one bought anything. They just fixed what they had. They made do. And I said, isn't it amazing how our economy grew and no one was buying anything? But yet today, we have to go out and go to the mall every Saturday and spend not only every dime that we have, but every dime that we don't have or that we'll make in the next 10 years this weekend, or the economy will collapse. I said, that I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that reminds me of one of the stories I tell about my mom. About a year ago, I'd been begging her and asking her this for probably two or three years, but we reached a monumental time in our lives together. I finally convinced her to clean out the freezer. Now, I don't know about most of y'all, but you know, when we get down and you only have three ketchups or two mayonnaises or 20 rolls of paper, you're out.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So she kept everything. You'd have thought that there were treasures from the Ming Dynasty in that freezer. Okay. And there were some expiration dates in there that had never even heard of Y2K.
Right.
And so she said, well, okay, we'll clean it out, but on one condition. I sit right next to you, and I have to look at everything, and it has to be examined and approved before it can be thrown into waste management. So we, it took about 3 hours going through every single item, and we get down to the final item. I reach down, I reach into the bottom there, I bring it out, and it's in one of those Ziploc bags, and I pull it out, and it's as hard as a moon rock, and it's glowing like a meteor. And so she looks at it, examines it, and I say, Mom, can we throw it away? It's the last thing, okay, and we'll be done. And she says, okay, take what's out, throw that away, but keep the Ziploc bag.
I love it. It's great. That is great. You know,
but that tells us so much, you know. I mean, I was so irritated with her at the time, and I rolled my eyes and shrugged my shoulders and like, oh, my goodness, how long has that been? That's been in there for 15, 20 years, you know. But it showed me a great lesson that they grew up in a time that was different than we, and that they value things. Even the little things.
Well, I'm going.
And we just don't do that.
I have to admit something on the air, and I will do this, and I may get
you keep the Ziploc bags too.
Well, yes, I do. I recycle my Ziploc bags. I do. I now some I don't if they're that old or decrepit or whatever. But I wash them, turn them inside out, put them on the washing machine, wait for them to dry out, and then I recycle them. But I'll tell you something that I did for the first time in probably 60 years, maybe 65 years, close to that, is that I had a hole in a pair of jeans that I liked. And, jeans had a lot of holes in them and stuff like that and ripped and whatever. But they look stylish, you know. But they came that way, honestly, through wear and tear. And I actually bought a patch and patched the jeans. And you know what? I'm the only person in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's walking around with a pair of jeans with a patch on it. But what are the darndest things that you've heard? And what is the darndest thing that you've ever heard from a senior?
Oh, well, I can't say the best things I can't say on air.
Okay. Well, we can go like beep, 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 or something like that.
I'll tell you a couple. Truly, I do hear some really good stuff that I cannot say on air. But I was talking to this one lady. She was 100 years old, and I began to talk with her, and I thought, oh man, you know, you're 100 years old. I've got to ask her, you know, some questions. I've got to find her great insight, her wisdom of, you know, how did you make it to 100 years, you know? And she said, well, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to be, coming down to Oklahoma City from Houston and next month. And I said, well, that's great. You know, Mary, why don't you drop by? And I'll tell you what, you come by, I'm going to take you out and get you a big steak and a tall glass of iced tea. And then she shared with me some wisdom. She said, iced tea? I want a margarita. How in the world do you think I got to be 100?
That is so neat. You know, don't we subscribe all of these nice things to seniors? And they must look at us and say, shut up, you know? One thing I never ask the seniors, how are you today? I never say, I give them a hard time. All the seniors I know, I treat them almost like dirt. And they love it because they know I'm joking. But they're so tired of saying, you know, Mr. Jones, how are you today? What do you mean? I'm 98. Everything hurts. Shut up. You know, and it's true. And I give them a hard time. I argue with them about everything, but it's done in jest, and they laugh and they love it. But all right, what are some other things that they say?
Well, one of my jobs here is to verify applications. You know, we get new Medicare supplement applications in, and I call the people back and go through it with them and make sure all their information is right. And there's one question on there. You know, you ask them the typical stuff, you know, their height and their weight, and have they had cancer or anything. There's one question on there that always makes me feel uncomfortable, and it is because you're asking an 85-year-old, have you ever been treated for drugs or alcohol?
Yeah.
And I was talking to this older gentleman, you know, 85, 86 years old, and I said, Mr. Smith, have you ever been treated for drugs or alcohol? And there's a pause of 5 or 6 seconds, and he says, son, I am too old to be drinking, to be smoking, or to be having sex. And then you hear this sweet little older voice in the background say, he's lying.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's great.
So, you know, the honesty, he was not happy after that.
Yeah. All right. Now, what happens when you ask, what do they say about sex at that age?
Oh, man. More of what I can't talk about on radio. but they want to...
You can modify it a little bit.
Oh, well, I'll tell you one. This one guy said, I said, we got to talking, and he talked, you know, about his marriage, and he says he'd been married for 52 years. And I said, well, you know, tell me, what is this secret? How did you guys make it that long? You know, what is your secret to great passion and love? And he says, consistent sex. And I said, oh, really? Yeah. And he says, yeah, we have sex every 4th of July and every Christmas.
That's terrific.
And
that's terrific. That is.
And I'll tell you another one is that, I don't hear this a lot, but I've probably heard it 10 or 15 times over the last 3 or 4 years, and that is it was common for people to, or not uncommon, for at 14 and 15 years old to get married.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
Back then they called that a wedding, and today we would call that a crime.
That's right. Absolutely.
But people will tell me, you know, hey, we were married at 14, and they've been married, you know, for 60 years, you know, and wow. I mean, you know, today, are people mature enough at 28, 29 to get married?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I still have a son that's only quasi-married, you know. My 38-year-old just got married last year, you know, and he thought it was young. I mean, it's amazing. When they were growing up, there were no government schools. They went to a local school, and they may have even been in a classroom with kids much older than them, much younger, but everyone was in there just to learn basic math, learn to read, and learn to write. So it made no difference if you were, you know, an 18-year-old kid or you were a 6-year-old kid. You're all there for the same reason. And there's some logic, you know, reading, writing, limiting, arithmetic. So there were no regulations. And they must look at our school system today and think that the whole place is nuts, you know, with all these regulations and these books and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting is that the kids who graduate today, after all this stuff, they can't read, they can't write, and then they can't add. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, and there are, you know, you hear of NFL athletes and, you know, other athletes. But
with college educations,
right,
by the way.
Yeah, a college degree, and they can't read the newspaper.
Right, that's right, exactly. And you look back, and there were no regulations. You want to get married, you got married. There wasn't state this, state that. It must confound them when you grow up in an... In fact, there were no traffic lights. There were no... People just rode their... Dogs, I mean, they're carts or the trolley on the street, and everyone just went in every direction, and hopefully you didn't get hit. I mean, there was no
right.
There was no regulation whatsoever on anything, and this must be very disturbing to them. All right, now we have about 10 minutes more. Frank, let me break again for a station identification. Folks, come on, we're having a great time here. We'd love for you to join us. Our telephone number is 646-652-4620. We know you're out there. Don't be afraid to break in. You're not going to disturb us. Interrupt us. My name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio, and with us today we have Mr. Kendall Irvin, and he's a musical humorist who works with seniors. Now, you have a couple of songs for us, don't you?
Yeah, I'll play you.
Okay.
Well, the story behind this one is my mother and I were we both share the same hobby, and you know, like you have any hobby, whether it be golf or playing Texas Hold'em or whatever, you need to practice that hobby to get good at it. Well,
right.
Our hobby is eating out, and so we try to practice as much as we can, and every year we make our little adventure, our little trip on finding a barbecue place. And we have gone as much as 300 miles, that's 600 miles both ways, and just to eat at a barbecue place. And last year we were making our little trip, and my mother begins to kind of squirm in the chair and all, and I say, "Mom, are you okay?" And she says, "Yeah, you know, just my friends with me." And she said, "Would you turn on the heated seats?" And I said, "Sure, yeah." And I said, "Well, you know, has your friend been with you, you know, all day?" "Well, yeah, Arthur's been with me, but you know what? You know, what would I do without Arthur? Because he's always with me, and you know, I'd just be alone without Arthur." And I said, "Well, Mom, you know, that sounds like a good title for a song." So as we're trucking down the road on our way to taste some barbecue, we together sat down and wrote this song, and it's called My Best Friend Arthur. And I'll do a couple of verses for you.
Right, that's
okay?
Great. Thank you.
I have a good friend named Arthur. He's good as a friend there could be. Sometimes he visits my elbows. Sometimes he visits my knees. I have a good friend named Arthur. He stays with me night and through day. No other friend is so faithful, unless it is tooth decay. Arthur is so very friendly, he never leaves me alone. He's right here in every muscle, and pinching my every bone. Arthur predicts the weather, he knows if it's sunny or rain. And if there's a cold front a-coming, he's given me twice the pain. We all have our pals and our best friends, and those who will stand right beside us, those who will never deny us, my best friend and pal, Arthritis.
Very, very, very good.
I don't know how that come across. Could it, you hear okay?
Oh, yeah, it came across just fine. What do you tell them to make them feel better? I mean, we were talking about what they say, and now what do you say to them when you do that? I mean, when you speak to them? What do you tell them?
Well, I try and honor them and respect them, and I tell them, I build them up, and I'm genuine about that, because they have so much wisdom and experience and insight, and I just tell them how great that they are and what wonderful. I mean, you know, the whole program is really is it's about them. It's stories from them. It's the great traditions that they had, and I just build them up and lift them up,
yeah,
and let them know, you know, that there are people who do respect you, who do honor you, and we treasure you and your ideas and your thoughts, and you know, and I encourage them to get with young people, and anytime that they can, if you can volunteer at a school or at a church and work with young people, because we need to get those two groups together.
Right.
So I just honor them, lift them up, and let them know, hey, we do respect you, and we are grateful for what you have done for us.
Well, in effect, you're creating a family for them, aren't you?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a family creator, and that's wonderful. Because we don't have families anymore. We have groups of people who live together and can't get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a real shame. Yeah. I'm sorry I'm so blunt, but that's the way it is. I am very fortunate. I mean, my sons call me all the time, and if I don't call them all the time, they want to know why I haven't called them. And I say, I threw you out 25 years ago, and I thought I got rid of you. You're still here, you know?
And,
all right. It's interesting. And, I mean, do you tell them jokes? Is there any one particular joke or line or humorous story that you tell them? I shouldn't say joke, but humorous story that you tell them that's that particularly lifts them up or they enjoy, and you enjoy saying?
Well, there is, unfortunately, we really don't have time for the song, but there is, but I'm going to tell you the story, and you know, in a couple of days we'll have this up on the website, and you can actually hear the song.
Okay.
But the story is, and this is a true story, that you know, I'd never worked with seniors before. I really didn't have a lot that I thought was in common with them, but Dale the Phillips, who is the owner of Old Surety and who is a senior, 67 years old, he had been trying to convince me to come work here, and you know, I just told him, you know, for about a year or so, I said, what am I going to talk about? I don't have anything in common with seniors, you know.
That's the way I would feel,
the same
right?
Clothes, listen, yeah. You know, don't listen to the same music. And he tricked me finally into coming here. He said, well, just come work with us for just during the Christmas rush, you know. And we really didn't even have a Christmas rush. But he talked me into it, and I started talking to him and all, and things got a little bit better. But, you know, I still just didn't feel connected with him. And often would think, you know, well, what, you know, we're so far apart, and what do we have in common? And one day I was talking to a lady from out in West Texas, 86 years old, and she was telling me the story of her life and telling me how that she'd been estranged from her kids and her grandkids, and she didn't go to church anymore. She lived out on her farm by herself. Her husband had died 8 years ago, and she said to me, I'm alone. And at that time, I had been divorced, and my kids, who were still living with me, they're a little bit older, and they were waiting on to get their apartment, and they had gotten their apartment, so they had moved out, and I was by myself, and I was kind of feeling that day, I was feeling, you know, a little depressed and a little down, because family is huge to me.
Right.
And so when she said that, she said, you know, I'm alone. And I didn't tell her this, but I said to myself, I am too. And all of a sudden, it was as though we both connected. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, I can really relate to this person.
Yeah.
I might be 48 years old, and she's 86, but all of a sudden, boy, we were as close as we could be. And we had such a good conversation. And at the end of the conversation, she, even though I had never told her, she said, I can tell you feel lonely too, don't you?
Wow.
And so I wrote a song called Spaces Between Us, and you can, in probably next week we'll have it up there.
Okay.
You can go to Seniors Say the Darndest Things and listen to that song. But I love telling that story because
yes.
Really it is – it's the cornerstone to what brings the passion to what
right.
I do.
Yeah.
And we forget that, you know, hey, we're all human and we all at times feel alone. We all
right.
at times feel joy. We feel passion. We feel romantic, you know. And so why shouldn't we all share each
right.
other's experience and emotions?
So
no
they
matter what age
they
you
influenced
are.
You unexpectedly. Although you
absolutely.
Were too. Well, we only have a few seconds to go before we lose our phone line. So I'm going to ask you, you have any, you got about 10, 15 seconds to give us your parting words.
Well, my parting words are to honor and respect our seniors and get to know them and get to enjoy them because they have such great insight
right.
and wisdom
right.
and they are the gift to us.
Right. They really are. And you have a website that you like to have people...
Yeah, Seniors Say the... Kendall Irvin, or just look up Seniors Say the Darndest Things.
Okay, very good. Kendall, I want to thank you very much for being on our show. It has been an absolutely delightful hour, and I truly mean that.
Well, thank you, Joe. I've enjoyed it, too.
Okay. All right. Take care now. Hope we meet again.
All
okay?
Right.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was really neat. That was really neat. This is the end of today's program. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to our friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.